All right, I want you to open your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 22. And I'm not going to preach a message this morning, but I want to share a few words that I hope will encourage you and help you this morning. So let's begin in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And I want to read to you a couple of verses, and then we'll turn and read a couple of other passages and notice the common thread in these verses. 2 Samuel chapter 22, please. I'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Now turn over, please, to the Psalms, to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, and we will read the first couple of verses here in Psalm 18. Verse 1 says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." Now let me have you turn one more time to Psalm 144. Psalm 144. And again I read verse 1 and 2. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." I want us to pray together, and then I want to speak to you for a few minutes from these three passages of Scripture on the high tower, the high tower. Let's pray. Our Father, how we thank you so much for the comfort that you give your people. And Lord, thank you that we have such a sweet fellowship here at Church the Open Door. And Lord, we can get together this morning, and even though our hearts are broken, we can find strength one from another. We can be encouraged. And Lord, even though we sit here heavy-hearted, we can get strength and comfort from the Holy Spirit. But Lord, even though we're heartbroken, we can find comfort and strength from the Word of God. And I pray that, Lord, you will bless this morning as we look at something that is in each one of these passages, that David looked at the storm that was around him, and he realized that he was safe because there was someone in the high tower watching over him. And Lord, open our hearts to realize your presence. And Father, help us to find comfort in the God of our salvation. David did. And Lord, so should we this morning. And I just pray that you will use this little message this morning to strengthen our faith in you. And Lord, may we leave here this morning with a little different outlook and a little different view of the whole situation. And Lord, we know it is appointed unto man once to die. We know that. And Lord, you also know that it's difficult for us to say goodbye to someone that we love. Although we all have to experience it, it's difficult. But yet, Lord, in the midst of it, we have admonition after admonition to trust in you. So, Lord, help us to do that this morning. Bless as I speak. And, Lord, help me to be the pastor for our folks that they need this morning. And, Lord, may you bless what I'm about to say. And, Lord, help me to say it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. David sang a song in 2 Samuel 22. And the song was an exaltation of the Lord. And in the song, he called God his high tower. In Psalm 18, in verse 2, David said, "The Lord is my rock and fortress. He is my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." He said again in Psalm 144, "Blessed be the Lord of my strength, my goodness, and my high tower." Three times. Remember now, three is the number of completion in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit three times shows us where our strength comes from in a time of need. Three times David said God was his high tower. Now let me see if I can give you a little personal illustration that will show you give you a little insight about the high tower. If you've been in this church for any length of time, you know that I hate to fly on airplanes. I've talked about my fear of flying, and it's not a fear of flying that I have, it's a fear of crashing that I have. And I do not like to fly on airplanes. And one of my first experiences in an airplane was shortly after, I think I had flown one other time in my life. And this was my second time to fly. And I was flying from Charleston, West Virginia. And if any of you have ever been to Charleston, West Virginia, and if you've ever flown into Charleston, West Virginia, you know that that is one of the most horrifying experiences you'll ever have in life. They took a mountain and cut the top off of it, poured some concrete, and they call it an airport. Now, I'm serious. They just sheared the top of the mountain off and poured concrete, and that's the airport. And I was shortly out of college, maybe 2 years out of college at best. And a preacher from out in the Chicago area invited me to come and speak for his church. So I agreed to come. And he said, this was back in the day before the internet. This was back in the day when buying an airplane ticket was much more difficult. You had to call the airlines and book the ticket and all this business. And it was kind of a hassle to do all that. And so this preacher said, "I will mail you a ticket." And I said, "Okay, that's fine." I said, "I can drive, you know. It's only about 10, 12 hours, I can drive it. No. He said, we'll fly you up here. And I said, but I can drive. I really can. But he wouldn't hear of it. So a couple of days went by and the airline ticket showed up. I remember as a kid when Piedmont Airlines flew out of Charleston, and this was the airlines that I was on, by the way, for this flight. And I remember when I was about 9 or 10 years of age that a plane filled with people coming out of Pittsburgh, I believe, went to land at Charleston, and the guy came about 150 feet short of the runway and slammed into the side of the mountain, killing all people on board. And that was just a few miles from where my grandfather lived, there were some people that were on that flight that lived in our community, and the horrific scene was something that you just that I never got out of my mind. And so now here I am, and it's raining, and it's cloudy, and it's raining. It was summertime, but it was cloudy and rainy and stormy, and I've got to fly to Chicago. Well, when I looked at the ticket, it said that we would leave Charleston and fly to Cincinnati, and then Cincinnati to Chicago. And I thought, oh, great. You know, up, down, up, down. You know, why can't we just do this up and down and be done with it? But no, we've got to fly to Cincinnati first. And so we got on the plane and we started to Cincinnati. And the further west we went, the worse it got. And it wasn't long before we were in some of the worst weather. Now, this was back before the jet age, and we had an old prop plane with four propeller engines on the plane, and the weather was just absolutely horrible. And I look out the window, and all you can see are thick black clouds. And the pilot came on the air and said, we're going to be flying around as many of these storms as we can. But he said, keep your seatbelts buckled, and the girls will not be bringing any refreshments through because of the choppiness of the flight. And boy, I'm telling you, it was just absolutely horrible. That plane was just bouncing. And then you would feel him go this way, and then you would feel him go that way, and he's up there. We knew he was up there just flying around the storms. And we did that for a little over an hour. And people were starting to panic. And everyone was just as nervous as they can be. The lights on the plane flickered on and off. The overhead compartments, because of the shaking and the vibration of the plane, would fly open and something would come flying out on somebody. And it was just as scary as anything I've ever seen. I later found out there were tornadoes all over the ground. And it was just frightening. And we did this for what seemed like an eternity. And when everyone was just scared out of their wits, all of a sudden, the pilot came on the intercom, and with a soothing voice, he said, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the turbulence, but I want to assure you that you have nothing to be worried about. He said, I just spoke to the tower in Cincinnati, and they assured us that we are almost through the storms. And we'll be landing in just a couple of minutes. Thank you for understanding. And then all of a sudden, the intercom went silent. And in just a couple of minutes, that plane leveled out. And we dropped below the clouds. And I looked down out the window to my left. And that plane started to bank, and he went out, and as he was getting ready to land, I could look down and see the runway to my left. And there in the middle of the terminal was this big tower. And it wasn't long before that plane touched down and all of us were safely back on the ground. And I really didn't think about it at the time. But there was somebody in that tower that was in complete control of what was going on. There was somebody in that tower who had all the latest radar and had, he knew where every plane was. He knew where every wind shear was. He knew where the lightning was. And he was in constant communication with the pilot. And he was telling that pilot, go this direction. Go to this altitude. Now turn back this way. And while we all thought that the storm was something we're not going to survive, the man in the tower was in complete control. And the man flying the plane was in complete submission. And because the pilot was in submission to the one that knew what was going on, that plane landed safely. Now, church, we're in a storm. This tragedy has brought the storm clouds into our lives. The shock, the loss, the emptiness, the hurt has brought a storm that all of us sit here now and look at and we think, how are we going to survive this? How are we going to get through this? But folks, I assure you that we're going to get through it. And the reason I say that is because last night I was sitting there watching Notre Dame and Michigan State and thinking about Larry, because y'all know Larry was a Notre Dame fan. He was from South Bend. He loved Notre Dame. Oh, I ribbed him about that. How can you be saved and root for Notre Dame? And he would just laugh. I was sitting there watching the ball game thinking about my dear brother. And I picked up my Bible and I said, where is that verse? I know. I got to find that verse. I knew it was in 2 Samuel. So I went to 2 Samuel and I knew it was, I knew generally where it was. And sure enough, soon, just a minute, I found it. And there was David saying, the Lord is my high tower. And so I just decided, I'm going to get in touch with the tower. And I began to pray. I talked to the tower, folks. It's going to be all right. That's my point. Yeah, it hurts. My heart is broken. And I know yours is too. But I've been in touch with the tower. I know you've been in touch with the tower. And the tower has told you it's going to be all right. That high tower knows what has happened to us. The one in the high tower, the one that sits in the high tower, sees the storm that's raging around us. The one in the high tower knows where every plane is flying. And he knows what we're dealing with. Several folks have said, Pastor, what are we going to do? Well, I don't know. But the one in the tower knows. Who's going to take Pastor Larry's place? I haven't got a clue. How do you replace Larry Stainer? I mean, one of a kind. You can't replace that. You say, well, preacher, what are we going to do? I don't know, but the one in the tower knows. For you see, this is his church anyway. And it doesn't belong to me, and it doesn't belong to Pastor Rick or Pastor Todd or Pastor John or Pastor Josh or any of us. It's the Lord's work. So what we got to do is we got to realize, hey, we're in the storm of our lives right now. So let's just go talk to the one that sits in the tower and find out how he can guide us safely in, because that's what he wants to do. And God will guide us if we'll just let him guide us. Now, folks, I know you hurt. I know you hurt. You hurt because I hurt. I know how I feel. I know how you feel. We have lost a good friend. Larry's influence, you all may probably don't realize, but Larry Stainer influenced not just Church of the Open Door. Larry Stainer influenced the nation and in some places the world. There are people on other continents that use Larry's soul winning material. We're going to do our best to stream the service. I mean, think about this. The Lippies are in Africa today because Keith signed up for the Soul Winners Club about 12 years ago. The Matthews are in Africa today and building a church and seeing people saved because they signed up for the Soul Winners Club when they got out of college. And the folks in Ireland, Craig Ledbetter's church has doubled as a result of starting the Soul Winners Club in their church. I was on the phone with Aaron and Gina Fuchs this morning, and they are in the Philippines building a church because Aaron came to this church and joined the Soul Winners Club and got a burden. There are preachers all over the Philippines. All over the Philippines. On the first trip we were there, we had 1,200 preachers that we trained. On the second trip, there were about that number. And on this last trip, we had over 1,000 that were in the services. And we trained them. And you gave the money, and we purchased the material, and we handed it out to those preachers. All over the Caribbean, all the Caribbean islands, has an independent fundamental Baptist preacher that has been trained in the Soul Winners Club. And those churches are growing like wildfire. And then all over America, at the National Sword Conference, Pastor Larry taught those preachers how to do a Soul Winners Club. Here in Open Door, many, many, more than I can count. Most of the time you all didn't even know what was going on. But preachers would come from all over the country and would be here for a Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, and then they go back to their churches and start the Soul Winners Club. And God blessed us richly with a man like that. But now understand this. When Larry came to us 23 years ago, long before I ever was here, but when Larry came to us, God prepared him and God made him. God had to have made him. That's just not natural. God had to have made him. Now, if God did it 23 years ago, God can do it today. The one in the high tower, that's who we look to. You've got to trust the one who is in control. And folks, I know you hurt. I understand that. But please, I'm begging you. It is time now for our church to come together and love Diana and Michelle and stand together as one and just look to the Lord and let God guide us through the storms. And as we watch the one in the high tower, God will provide. So don't ever lose sight of the fact that the one in the high tower is the one who knows what's going on. Let's trust him. Let's trust him. Dr. Smith said to me on the phone yesterday, I think it was. Dr. Smith said, Norris, I know I've told you this. I don't make him call me Pastor Norris. Norris, I know I've told you this. He said, but we need to send Larry out with a grand celebration. I said, yes, we do. So let's do that, church. Let's do that. Let's take care of our brother who has taken care of us for so many years. I know that in the months and years to come, if the Lord tarries, and if I live long enough, I know stories, and there are things I would never tell you because he would be here and would be embarrassed. But what a guy. There's just no way no way to say it other than just what a man. And God blessed us. You know, it's hard to see the forest sometimes for the trees. We had him here. But I'm telling you, he was a unique individual, blessed of God. One preacher called me this week. Does the name Carl Hatch ring a bell to anybody? Do you know that name? Carl Hatch, in the last generation, was one of the greatest soul winners. I was privileged while I was in college and right after I got out of college, I was privileged to go out visiting with Carl Hatch. And all the stuff you heard about him was true. I mean, the guy was, he would witness to anything. We were driving down the road one time going to make a visit. And there were three boys sitting on a fence by a store drinking sodas. And I'm driving along, he's talking, and all of a sudden he was always talking, always. And all of a sudden he looked over and he saw these three boys sitting on the fence and he said, "Stop, stop, stop." I slammed on the brakes of the car. We're doing 55 miles an hour. Well, I thought, what in the world? And I pulled off. He said, "Pull over, pull over." I pulled over. He jumps out, grabs his Bible, goes running back, and led those three boys to Christ sitting on the fence drinking sodas. He would go into bathrooms at airports. Knock, knock, knock. Here, read this while you're waiting. Knock, knock, knock. Here, read this. I kid you not. He did it to Curtis Hudson. Curtis said, "Carl, is that you? Is that you, Curtis? Praise God. Here, knock, knock. Read this while you're waiting." That's the way he was. I had a preacher call me this week and said, Larry Stainer was a soul winner on the same level with Carl Hatch. Personality is totally different, but same power, same burden, same results. We were blessed to have that in our church. And as long as God gives me breath, We will not lose His vision. And we will not lose His burden. And we'll keep it going. Let's keep our eyes on the high tower, folks.